بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، after the praise to Allah Almighty and peace be upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. إخواني وأخواتي في الله, my brothers and sisters in Islam, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says in the hadith, كل أمر ذي بال لا يبدأ ببسم الله وفي رواية بحمد الله فهو أبتر أو أقطع. Any matter that does not begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praising Allah Almighty, it's a matter that's got no blessings. And that's why it is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the sunnah that he taught us, that when we start any gathering, even could be a gathering of business, any gathering that you start off with, you start off with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by saying alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. And this is a habit that you should get yourself used to. Every time you start a gathering, you start a lesson, you start a program, start it with bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah, and end it with alhamd wa salat wa salam ala rasulullah, so the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come into these gatherings. Ikhwani, for the last few Thursdays, we've been relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speaking about a topic, maybe a controversial topic among a lot, that did make some confusion some of the brothers and the sisters might before. And I hope inshallah by these Thursday lessons that this mind are clear from those confused or controversial topics that's confusing some of our youth. And at the end, the main outcome that we wanted to come out of these lessons, to have an open mind. To have an open mind in everything that we hear and see. Not everything we hear and see, we just take it and walk off with it. Not everything we hear and see, we close our eyes and walk off. The only time that you close your eyes and walk off of whatever you hear and see is when it's coming from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah. Not everything we see, not everything we hear, we just take and walk off with it. The only time that I am proud to be a blind follower is from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And ikhwani, because there is a lot of, people out there, and alhamdulillah, there's a lot that preach the good, and at the same time, there's a lot that preach the wrong. And when I'm saying the wrong, those ones are out of the sect of Islam. And some people fall into it. Some people, subhanAllah, they just hear something and they just get convinced by a simple thing and go. And this is the fitna. This is the fitna that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the Sahaba and tested the Prophet and tested the whole companions at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, there was a bunch of munafiqeen. They always try and influence the companions and put the wrong message in the mind of the companions to turn away from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this fitna will always occur. After the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was the fitna between the companions, then the fitna of the Khawarij, then the fitna of this, and then the fitna of that. Till this day, there's always a fitna. As Muslims, we should have an open mind and a smart mind that we don't fall in everything we hear. And subhanAllah, A few days ago, a brother came to me, told me that his friend, you know, after 20 years of Islam, he was around a few Christians, and he became a Christian. They played around with his mind, and he became a Christian. Then, after a few months, he woke up to himself and turned to Islam. And subhanAllah, it amazes you, how could someone fall into such a thing? And sometimes people play around with someone's mind and take it. And this all goes back to some people not thinking about what they hear. So it is very important, especially at this time and era, it's very important for us to have an open mind. Whatever we hear, we think about it. Think about it. And take what's good and leave what's bad. And think about what you hear before you make a decision and take that as part of your life. And I'm not referring, this is not just a refer into the Muslims, the Mashayikh. I'm referring into a wider spread, even outside, even with the non-Muslims, how some people get influenced on what they say and so on. A Muslim should always have a smart mind. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Muslimu kayyisun fatan. Al-Muslim kayyisun fatan. Kayyis is smart, fatan is very aware. Kayyis is smart, fatan is very aware. And he doesn't let things go past him just like that. He always has an open mind, a smart mind, and makes the decision the proper way. And that's how our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And that's how his companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum were. They were very smart, very aware. And when they do something, they do it because they are convinced. They don't do something because they are played around with their mind. They don't do something because they just said something and just put it in their mind. And they're just doing it because they're not convinced. That was the actions of the hypocrites. The hypocrites used to do act upon something and they're not convinced on it. Abu Jahl at one stage said, I believe Muhammad is a prophet of Allah, but I'm not going to follow him. See, just hypocrisy and it's just kufr inside them. A mu'min, ikhwani, before he makes a decision, thinks about it with wisdom, uses his mind, uses his brain, and then he does something when he's convinced. And he does it for Allah's sake. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the barakah in what they do. Sometimes we mix, and this is a very important thing, we mix our shahawat with our sincerity to Allah azza wa jal. We want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we start following our shahawat, pleasing Allah azza wa jal. We want to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders and the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we start following our shahawat without us realizing. We are following our shahawat thinking that we're pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and here we are, we're going the wrong direction. And this is something, this is a chaos that we should wake up to ourselves. The Yahud, the Jews, used to kill the prophets, used to kill the messengers. Allah azza wa jal had blessed the nation of Bani Israel. We had not blessed any other nation like how we blessed them. We're sending prophets and messengers to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets and messengers and prophets and messengers. And every time a prophet that comes to them, they dislike what he says, they kill him. They came to a stage they would kill and slaughter a prophet and a messenger under the name of Islam. They kill this prophet and a messenger under the name of Islam. And they grab a prophet and kill him for the sake of Allah azza wa jal, just because they didn't like what he said. And subhanAllah, Musa alayhi salam said, the Bani Israel are very, very stubborn people. Very stubborn people. They just follow their shahawat under the name of the deen. And subhanAllah, a prophet will come. If they dislike what a prophet said, they kill. They killed Allah, they killed Zakaria, they killed Yahya, they killed Isa. They trying to kill Isa alayhi salam. They killed a lot more prophets under the name of the deen. Yani they were considering themselves as being Muslims who believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and believe in the prophets and believe in the Tawrat and so on. But they were killing the prophets under the name of Islam because the prophets would tell them something opposite to the shahawat. For my brothers and sisters, we should always have an open mind. We should always have a clean mind. And we should always think before we make a decision. And not everything we hear, we just put in our ears and clothes and not think about it. And this is something from Allah Azza wa Jal. In many verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَدَبَّرُونَ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Many verses in the Quran Kareem, Allah says, for those that should think, they should be aware, they should contemplate, for those who have hearts, for those who have mind. Many verses in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always says, لَعَلَّهُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ, for those who have heart, for those who have mind. Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to think and use our mind. And ikhwani, once we start thinking and use our mind, that's when we are safe from falling into the fitan. Because a lot of the times people fall into the fitan, they don't think. They just don't think, they just fall into the fitna without thinking, and then they find themselves in a very deep hole without even thinking. And especially the shabab, the problem with the shabab is the enthusiasm. Sometimes the enthusiasm covers the brain, stop thinking and just let the enthusiasm take over and control their life and just take them wherever they want. And ikhwan, remember one thing, enthusiasm doesn't take you to good. Enthusiasm without thinking, it's disaster. Enthusiasm, hamas, without thinking and having a brain is a disaster. When enthusiasm becomes a benefit? When someone uses his brains. If you use your brains with enthusiasm, you benefit. But you use your enthusiasm with no brains, you only harm. And that's why a lot of the fitan always used to involve the shabab. A lot of the fitan will involve the shabab. The fitna that started at the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the shabab, was teenagers. The fitna that involved a lot of the khawarij were also shabab. And you find regularly the fitan that most of the fitan who are involved in shabab. Why? Because shabab have hamas, have enthusiasm. And some people who are behind the fitan try and take advantage of the hamas from attracting those shabab, attracting those youth, by knowing that if they just get this shabab, this youth more enthusiastic, they would not think anymore, so they grab them and start using them. And subhanAllah, the fitna that started on Uthman bin Affan were all shabab. Some of them were the children of the Sahaba. One of them is the son of Abu Bakr. They were shabab. And they were shabab with love to the deen of Allah. They were shabab with love to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But someone with a fitna and a diseased heart start to send the fitna and start to brainwash them, play around with the companions of their shabab. And because of the enthusiasm and not using their mind, they fell into a great fitna by killing one of the greatest companions, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. For my brothers and especially the shabab, do not let your enthusiasm override you. Do not let your enthusiasm override you. And if you think that your enthusiasm is overriding, you go and consult someone that his enthusiasm does not override them. And this is very important. Some people, maybe they can't. The enthusiasm overrides them. Khalas, gets control of them. So what do you do in that situation? Go to someone, be a follower of someone that you believe that this person is not overrided by the enthusiasm. As long as you put yourself on the right track and then let that overtake you. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, the enthusiasm takes us to do things that we think we are pleasing Allah Azza wa Jalla with it, but not. Just because of enthusiasm. And I mentioned this before. The hamas of some of the companions on one of the battlefields, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fasting, him and his companions. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam saw a hardship that the companions are going through, so he ordered the companions to break their fast. So a group of companions said, no, we are the strong ones, we'll continue fasting. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ulaik al-usat, ulaik al-usat, ulaik al-usat. The others ones who disobey, the others ones who disobey, the others ones who disobey. Logically, when you think about it, you think, I want to fast and continue my fasting. My deen is all about sacrifice. I'll get closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla with that. But what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell him in situations like that? You're not pleasing Allah. You're just pleasing yourself. You're disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Prophet. You're disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah yuhibba an tu'ta rukhusahu kama yuhibba an tu'ta azaima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His license to be taken. When Allah gives you a license, like a license for you to shorten the prayer, or to join the prayer, or a license for you to break your fast, or a license for you to do this, or a license for the sick to break his fast, and so on, Allah Azza wa Jalla loves His license to be taken the way His orders are taken. Allah loves His license to be taken the way His orders are taken. Why? Because it's a gift from Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't reject Allah's gift. You know how you work and your boss at the end wants to give you a bonus and then you reject that bonus? Allah Azza wa Jalla is just giving you a bonus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a gift. Do not reject Allah's gift. It's like, don't think you're over that gift. Don't think you're over that gift. For my brothers and sisters, hamas, sometimes that enthusiasm overrides us. And sometimes that enthusiasm makes us, and what that's one of the main things that I'll start to speak on Thursday night, makes us start disrespecting the scholars of Islam. As we start to see people start to disrespect the great imams like Imam Abu Hanifa, disrespecting the great imams like Imam Shafi'i or Imam Malik or Imam Hanbal or the other imams, whoever, whatever way of madhab they had, the way of thinking, they start to disrespect them with their hamas. And sometimes under the banner of the Quran and Sunnah, we follow the Quran and Sunnah, and they are outside the Quran and Sunnah because of the hamas. Khalas, too enthusiastic. The Quran and Sunnah, whatever outside the Quran and Sunnah is deviated, kaza. and start taking this paper outside the Quran and Sunnah, and even to the stage that people start to reach to take them out of Islam, wal-iyadu billah. We start to get this mentality of calling others to kafir. This guy is a kafir, that guy is a kafir. It's like, subhanAllah, wal-iyadu billah, you are putting yourself in a position of a Lord deciding and making a decision who's a kafir and who's not. You don't have the authority. No one has the authority. And for kufr, to call someone a kafir is something that you, and you rather go through a long travel than going through the process of kufr. For you to take someone from the paradise and put him in the hellfire, it's not easy. For you to make someone to be considered as a kafir, a non-believer, this is not something, wallah, a word you play around with. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever calls someone a kafir, a Muslim a kafir, this kufr will come to one of them. Will come to one of them, huh? If you call your Muslim brother a kafir, it'll either come back to you or come to him. If he's really a kafir, then come to him. If not, it'll come back to you. So calling someone a kafir, or calling someone a munafiq, or calling someone someone, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when someone used to say that in front of him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell him off. Once, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited this group of companions and he asked about a man. So a man said, this guy is a munafiq. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got angry. He said, this man loves Allah and his Prophet. Don't call him a munafiq. Who are you to call this guy a munafiq, this guy a kafir, this guy is a fasiq? You're not in a position to judge people. Innama alayka al-balagh. Your position is to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your position is to invite people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not your job to decide on who goes to the hellfire and who goes to the paradise. You just look after yourself. Are you going to the hellfire? Are you going to the paradise? Just concentrate on yourself. Are you going to be from those who are going to enter the paradise? Are you going to be from those who are going to enter the hellfire? Because the true believers, like Umar ibn Khattab, when the list of munafiqin is to come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he'll go and ask Hudhayfa ibn Ma'man radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He does not ask him on that list. He used to ask him, am I on that list? That's the true believers, ikhwan. They look at themselves. They judge themselves. Am I from those people or not? Umar ibn Khattab, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jalla used to inform him who are the true hypocrites are. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to inform one or two companions. They used to keep all the secrets of the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar ibn Khattab, the man that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said is going to straight to the paradise, will go after that man, not ask him who's on that list, because that's not the worry of the believers. The worry of the believers themselves. How am I going to save myself from the hellfire? Before I start finding out who's going to the hellfire and who's going to the paradise, I want to find out, am I going to the hellfire or am I going to the paradise? Umar ibn Khattab will go and ask, am I on that list? I ask you, but Allah, tell me, am I on that list? If once Abu Bakr meets Talha and tells him, Talha, how was your day? So Talha says, but Allah, I feel like I'm a hypocrite. So Abu Bakr says, how could you say about yourself you're a hypocrite? And you are one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Abu Bakr, by Allah, every time I sit around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he talks about the paradise, he talks about the hellfire, it's like I could see it with my own eyes. It's like I could see it with my own eyes. Once I walk away from the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, it's like I forgot everything. Once I walk out and start mixing with the family and friends, it's like I forgot everything that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Abu Bakr said, by Allah, wallahi, I feel the same. Nafaqa Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr became a hypocrite. Look at their worry, ikhwani. Who's saying that about themselves? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr started to doubt himself that he's a munafiq. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the best of feet that stepped on the surface of this earth after the prophets and the messengers is Abu Bakr. What did he say? He said, Nafaqa Abu Bakr. They ran to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling him, oh Prophet of Allah, oh Prophet of Allah, every time we sit in front of you, you tell us about the paradise, you tell us about the hellfire, it's like we could see with our own eyes. But once we walk away and mix with the family and friends, we forget everything, it's like we didn't hear anything. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by Allah, if you stay in the same state that you stay with me outside, by Allah, you would have probably shook hands with the angels. But time for you and your family and friends, time for Allah and the deen of Allah, time for you and family and friends, time for Allah Azza wa Jal, time for you and your family and friends, time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu pointed the fingers at himself, being afraid from being the people of nifaq. Being afraid from being people of the nifaq. And now you've got people standing up saying, this guy is a munafiq, this guy is a kafir. Where's the iman? Where's the taqwa? Where's the Islam? Is that the footsteps of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is that what the companions were pointing at? This guy is a kafir, this guy is a munafiq, or pointing at themselves saying, am I going to the paradise, or am I going to be from the people of the hellfire? Ikhwani, Allah did not give you the stick of judgment to judge who's going to the hellfire and who's going to the paradise. What Allah had given us, He told us these certain actions by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these certain actions, these are actions of kufr, these are actions of iman. But for me to judge a person, he's a kafir, this guy is a munafiq, just because wallahi, I didn't like his actions, or because wallahi, his mentality is not like my mentality, or his teachings is not like my teachings, or his sheikh is not like my sheikh, wallahi, he likes the sheikh, he likes the Azhar mashayikh, I like the Saudi mashayikh, I call this guy a kafir, and call this guy a Muslim, wal'iyadhu billah. This is a dangerous line. This is a very, very dangerous line. And one of the things that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam warned about the Khawarij, and one of the things the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned about the Khawarij, although he said, I remember what he said, by Allah, if you look at one of them, you'll disgrace your prayer in front of your prayer. You think this guy prays, and their prayer is much, much better than your prayer. You think your prayer is nothing compared to their prayer. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, by Allah, if I see them, I'll kill them with my own sword. Subhanallah. You tell us they look like believers. They act like believers. Hatta our worship is nowhere compared to their worship. And then you say, if I see them, I'll kill them. And now, because these people are fitna. These people divide among the Muslims. They called the companions and the great companions kuffar. This guy is a kafir, that guy is a kafir. They start to use the whenever the authority of calling people kuffar. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, by Allah, if I see them, I'll kill them. Because of that fitna. A great fitna, ikhwani. Ya ikhwani, no one has the tool, no one has the stick of calling who's a kafir, who's a Muslim. Look after yourself and call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rest is on Allah azza wa jal. In the hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about two men. One of them is a pious man, and the other one is a wicked man. The pious man will constantly visit the wicked man and remind him about Allah. And constantly remind him about Allah. Until one day the pious man got fed up with that wicked man. He said, by Allah, you're going to the hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said from above the seventh heaven, who gave you the authority? Who gave you the authority to call my servant? Who gave you the authority to send my servant to the hellfire? By Allah, I forgave him, make him into the paradise, and I'll make it into the hellfire. He gives you the authority to start pointing the fingers. This guy is a kafir. This guy is a munafiq. This guy's got an aqidah problem. This guy, he's got his raw aqidah. He haven't opened their hearts. Subhanallah, look at our deen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one of the battles, Ammar ibn Yasir, another narration says Khalid ibn Walid, another one says Ali ibn Abi Talib. And there could be three different incidents. They chase him behind a non-believer, and this non-believer turned around and said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And they killed him. And that there's an authentic narration about Khalid ibn Walid, he killed him. So in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that news came to him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hand and said, Allahumma inni abra'u mimma fa'ala Khalid. Oh Allah, I am innocent of what Khalid did. Oh Allah, I am innocent of what Khalid did. Oh Allah, I am innocent of what Khalid did. Another one of Ali ibn Abi Talib, when Ali was chasing another believer to kill him, a non-believer to kill him, and then he turned around and said, Ashhadu an la ilallah wa ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah, and he killed him. And it's so obvious to me and you will see this guy just wants to run away from death. When the news came back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told him, did you kill him after he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? He said, oh Prophet of Allah, yes. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, did you kill him after he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? So the companion said, yes, oh Prophet of Allah. He just wanted to say and to run away from death. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said with anger, did you just kill him after he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? And he said, oh Prophet Allah, he just wanted to say it to run away from death. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ashaqaqta an qalbi. Did you open his heart and see it? And Allah alam could be Ammar bin Yasir. Did you open his heart? Did you split his heart and check it? Did you see what's in the heart? And subhanAllah, what more do you want? A person, it's so obvious, he's fighting against the Muslims, and then when the battle's against him, he runs away, and then he wants to run away from death, so he turns around and says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and the companion kills him. And wallah, if one of us will not kill him, wallah will kill him and jump on him and kill everyone around him. It's so obvious. But subhanAllah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has got these borders, this had, there's al-hadood, and hudood here, I mean not the penalties, I mean the hudood here, the borders. There's a border, you can't get over it. You do not have the authority to get over that. You have what Allah had told you to do and you stick to that. The rest is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had borders. Even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had barriers he can't get over him. Allah azza wa jal, he can't get. The rest goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that deals with the rest. So if someone says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, khalas, he's a Muslim. Wallah, you didn't like about him this, you didn't like about him that. At the end of the day, that's not your job. You call to Allah and that's it. You don't take a person from the paradise, you put him into hellfire. Or take someone from the hellfire, put him in the paradise. It's like you judge whoever you want to judge. Wal'iyadu billah, this is not our job. Know that it's our responsibility. We call to Allah and we hate the bad action. We log the good action and we leave the rest on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll call for which is good, prevent from which is bad. مَرَّأَ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلِيغَيِّرُهُ بِيَدِهِ. If you see a munkar, try and change it with your hand. If you can't, فَبِلِسَانِ with his tongue. If you can't, فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضَعْفُ الْإِيمَانِ. You do it with your heart and that's the lowest and the lowest state of iman. So my brothers and sisters, let's not fall into this fitna. And this is a fitna that's spreading. People falling into that fitna and they think, wallahi, they're carrying the sword of Islam and the sword of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allahu Akbar, this guy is a kafir, this guy is a Muslim, this guy is a munafiq, this guy is a fasiq, this guy is this, kaza, kaza. And they think in Allahu Akbar, they're upholding the deen of Islam by being like that. Know that little they know, Allahu A'lam with these people and which direction these people are heading. This is not guaranteed, this is not the attitude or the way of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this guy from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this guy is not from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this guy follows the Ra' Aqidah, this guy doesn't follow the Ra' Aqidah. Have you opened these guys' hearts and checked in them? Have you opened their hearts and checked in them? And have you made the decision? And what's more upsetting, those who say this, most of them don't even know what's Aqidah, or the meaning of Aqidah, or the meaning of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, or the meaning of Sahaba, or the meaning of companions, or the meaning of prophets. They just came out of the streets a few days ago, and now they're in a position of judging people who goes to the paradise, who goes to the hellfire. Faikhwani, this is a fitna that some of us fall into. Let's be away from it. Where's the wisdom that Allah Azza wa Jal has said, وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. And whoever's given the hikmah is given a lot of good. Where's the hikmah? Where's the wisdom, ya ikhwan? Where's the brains? Where's the sincerity? But Allah, if we have sincerity, we would not think that way. We would not think that way. Remember, when you're sincere to Allah, Allah will show you the right path. Where's our sincerity? Are we in this deen because, wallahi, we like some of the actions of some people that we think, wallah, they're hectic, or because, wallah, these people speak tough and rough, wallahi, that's the only way I like it. And that's why I became in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, because it suits my mentality. And woof, I've been looking for something like this for the last few years. And subhanAllah, when I saw someone speaking tough and rough, I became one of their followers. But when someone speaks, you know, humbly, wallah, I don't want to be part of them. Exactly what they said about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why should we follow him when he's got the humble people around him? I'm not going to sit around Bilal. I'm not going to sit around Suhaib. I'm not going to sit around this ex-slave people. We are much, much above them. Whatever we like from the deen, take. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَا يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. فإن أصابه خير اطمأن به وإن أصابته فتنة انقلب على عقبيه. نسي الدنيا والآخرة. And some people worship Allah Azza wa Jalla on edge. If they like something, they go ahead with it. If they don't like something, they walk away from it. Ikhwan, I'm there for Allah Azza wa Jal. And I'm there to follow the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I have a brain of my own. I have a brain of my own. I use my brains. Subhanallah. Look, Khalid ibn Walid. And subhanallah, what I'm trying to say, sometimes we are just following a track or following a path and our brains are blocked. But once we unblock these brains, we realize that we're going the wrong way. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, How did Khalid ibn Walid get into Islam? Khalid ibn Walid, for 20 years he was an enemy of Islam. Bish, enemy number one, 5-star enemy of Islam. One of the first people against Islam. Fought and struggled and strived to destroy Islam and Muslims and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did Khalid ibn Walid become a Muslim? His brother Al-Walid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of the believers. And Khalid ibn Walid was one of the wise men. One of the wise men that he had a bit of, he had brains, he had wisdom. So once the Prophet ﷺ will see Walid ibn Walid and tell him, Subhanallah, I am so surprised from a man like Khalid ibn Walid with all his wisdom delays his Islam. What did he say? I'm so surprised of a man like Khalid ibn Walid with that wisdom of his, and with that smartness and that wisdom of his, delays his Islam. And amazing, doesn't take a genius to figure out that, wallah, the path that you're on is wrong, and this is the path of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the right path. So Walid ibn Walid straight away wrote a letter to his brother Khalid ibn Walid. And subhanAllah, that letter was subhanAllah the reason that unblocked the way that Khalid ibn Walid was following. That letter comes to Khalid ibn Walid and he tells him, I was speaking to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he said, I'm amazed and surprised from a man with Allah Khalid ibn Walid, the law of wisdom does not enter Islam. So subhanAllah, maybe he was blind for a few years, but this letter unblocked that blind and wake up to himself and realized, man, yeah, it's true. Maybe if I give myself that 1 minute to think about it and realize that for the last 20 years I was wrong. And subhanAllah, the only thing for Khalid ibn Walid is to run from Mecca to Medina to turn to Islam. And then from being a drawn sword against a Muslim into being drawn sword for the Muslims. And subhanAllah, wisdom, ya ikhwani, wisdom. Brains, people use their brains. Sometimes people are in a hole, in a very deep, dark hole. They don't know where they are. You need to take yourself out of it by using your brains. And that's why the brains is a ni'mah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will judge us because we've got brains. The judgment in the hereafter, the only difference between us and the animals is that brain. Or else we would not be judged like the animals, or the animals would be judged like us. Faikhwani, let's have an open mind. Let's use our mind. Let's not everything we hear we take, and not everything we see we just fall into it. Just because, wallahi, it makes sense to me the way it was put to me. Ikhwani, there's something called the brain that Allah had given us. There's something called the heart that Allah Azza wa Jalla had given us. And believe me, ikhwani, if you're sincere to Allah, Allah will never misguide you. Allah will never misguide you. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُ فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive in our path will guide them to what we want. If you want to follow the path of Allah, the way Allah Azza wa Jalla wants you to follow Him, then sacrifice and strive and be sincere in Allah's path, and Allah will take you to the right path. SubhanAllah, Salman al-Farisi from Faris, he was sincere to know the truth. When he has not heard anything about Islam, Allah took him to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُ فِينَا. Those who strive in our path will guide them to what we want. For my brothers, my sisters, especially the Shabab, firstly, have an open mind. Not everything you hear and see just because you like it, yani, it's the way. Have an open mind. Think. As Allah Azza wa Jalla said, think. Secondly, do not let enthusiasm override you. Once you realize your enthusiasm's overriding, now you're not going the right path. Know that you are just following what the shaitan wants you to do, because that's when shaitan gets happy. And that's why shaitan pushes the enthusiasm. He pumps you with enthusiasm so you could go the wrong way. Don't let your enthusiasm override you. Think before you let this enthusiasm override you. And if you can't think, go to someone that thinks. You've got, subhanAllah, different people. Allah Azza wa Jal made someone like Amr ibn al-As, after 4 months he'd been a Muslim, to be a leader on an army. And someone like Abu Dharr, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'll never put you a leader on two people. Different people, subhanAllah. Allah created people like this, Allah created people like that. There are people who are leaders and there's people who are followers. A majority of people are followers, not leaders. There are people who follow others and there's people that others follow them. Ikhwani, subhanAllah. And for you to follow someone is not a disgrace. For me to follow the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's an honor for me. I'll follow him blindly, man. It's an honor for me. For me to follow someone that I believe, wallah, he's sincere, and this person, wallah, he's sincere, and this person really loves his deen, wallah, it's an honor for me. I follow him for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Some people can be followers, others can't. Some people are leaders, others aren't. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, people like camels. Out of every 100, you find one good one. Out of every 100 camels, you find one good camel to ride on, a good hump that could be comfortable for you to ride on. Same thing with people. Out of every 100, you find one good person. One person, wallah, is worth of being a leader, or one person worth being in the front line, and so on. And that's the other thing, ikhwani. And the other thing, ikhwani, always increase your knowledge and ask. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the events, he sent a group of companions to find the path of Allah. And listen to this story. It's got a lot of hikmah, this story. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent a group of companions to find the path of Allah, and they went to a cold area. One of the companions was injured on his head. The next morning, this companion woke up and he had a dream that he needs to have a shower from behind it. So he said that, can I make tayammum because I'm sick, my head is injured, you know, and it's cold and my body is weak. Maybe if I put water, I'll collapse. You know, can I make tayammum? So the companion said, no. We only know you have to must make ghusl. There's no tayammum for you. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu skipped the water on his head, he collapsed and died. So when they came back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him the story, the Nabi got so angry, he said, قَتَلُوهُ قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ. They killed them, they killed him, Allah Azza wa Jalla destroyed them for that. They destroyed him, Allah destroyed them for that. Look at me, that's how angry the Prophet ﷺ got. And then he said, كَانَ يَكْفِيهِ التَّيَمُّمْ. It was enough for him to make tayammum. إِنَّمَا شِفَى الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ. Yani, sometimes, إِنَّمَا شِفَى الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ, the cure of a disease is a question. The cure of a disease sometimes is just a question. It was enough for him to make tayammum. All they had to do is ask. They killed him for that. Because of their ta'assab, because of their closed mind, they killed a companion. It was enough for him to make tayammum. Yani, there wasn't balance in the way of thinking. But that's why, ikhwani, al-aql na'ma, the brains are na'ma. And that's why, ikhwani, let's use that mind the way Allah Azza wa Jalla wants us to use it. And have an open mind. And not to have a grudge against anyone or hatred on anyone. Or take this person from the deen of Allah and put this person in the deen of Allah. Take this person from the paradise, put him in the hellfire. This guy from the hellfire, put him in the paradise. Wal-ayyadu billah. Worry about yourself. Which track are you following? Where are you heading to? Are you going to the paradise? Are you going to the hellfire? Before Allah, you start pointing at others. Where they going? Where they coming? Concentrate on yourself and your iman. Concentrate on yourself and iman before you start looking at other people's faults. And this is a disease. And that's a very bad disease. And a lot of those people who start to have that mentality, those people start to have that mentality of turning, bringing people to the deen of Allah, taking them away from the deen of Allah. Like people who say this guy is a Muslim, this guy is non-Muslim. All they do is look at faults of others. It became a habit in them. Thinking, wallahi, they're doing the right thing, just looking at faults of others. This guy is this, this guy is that, this guy did this, this guy said that, this guy that, kaza. And you look at their condition, wallahi, their condition is a disaster. This is the disease that some people start to fall into. This guy is this, this guy is that, and look at their condition is awful. They probably have more disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal than anyone else. It just became a picture. Wallah, this guy is this, this guy is that, this guy. And it became a habit in speaking about this guy, speaking about that guy. And what happened to the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That one word a man will say does not even care about, will take him 7 years in hellfire. Tahwi bihi fi nari jahannam sab'ina kharifa. 70 years. And maybe some scholars say kharif is not a year, is more than a year. Fa ikhwani, let's have an open mind, balance things, think. Think before we make it, not everything we hear, khalas kaza, just because, wallah, it's hectic talk, wallah, it's a tough talk, wallah, because this guy, yani, subhanAllah, reached to a stage when a sheikh starts to speak about that guy, wallah, this sheikh is on the truth. Wallah, this guy is on the truth. When someone starts to attack others, wallah, this guy, he's on the haqq, and this guy speaks the haqq. Does the haqq mean only speaking about others? Is the haqq now these days speaking about others and the truth? Kalimatu haqqin inda sultanin jair. Yani, grab one hadith and forget about the other hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. That the best of jihad is a true word in front of a oppressive leader. No, ikhwani, al-haq, yani, kalimat al-haq has got its time too. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the strongest man on the haq, and he didn't even say anything about Islam. He hid Islam for 3 years. He doesn't fear Allah azza wa jal. He doesn't have jihad in him. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the first mujahid. But sometimes, yani, wisdom, using your mind and brains doesn't mean, wallah, you're not saying the haq. Ikhwani al-aql, Allah rida alaykum, use your mind, don't let your enthusiasm override you. Not everything you hear, you just take and that's it, dig it in your head and make a decision. Judge yourself and look at your actions before you judge others. Think about the way you do things, think about the way you say of things before you really get into that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on a steadfast. Lastly, ikhwani, as I mentioned before, inshallah, Sydney Islamic College, a college of Sharia that we're starting. For those brothers and sisters who are interested to be part of that, inshallah, it's going to start on the 25th of January. It will be every Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the UMA Center. 2 years course. These 2 years, inshallah, you learn 22 subjects. It's not, wallah, a general talk. It's full on intense subjects. There'll be books, there'll be handouts, there'll be exams and so on. Okay, those brothers, those sisters who are interested, for the brothers, they could go to Sheikh Taj's office now and fill up a registration form. For the sisters, they have upstairs a sister with a registration form. And in the future, if you don't want now, you could go online, www.sydneyic, and Sydney Islamic College, sydneyic.org.au, and you could register online. From here to, inshallah, 25th of January, Mondays and Thursdays will be Kaman, a place where you register. Also at TMA gym, for the brothers also could register there. And for the sisters, Sarrays, at the sisterhood, they could also register. I really need to know how many brothers and sisters coming so I could order the books. Starting 25th of January, 4 terms a year, every term 10 weeks. Between every term, 2 weeks holiday. Except Ramadan, inshallah, the whole month of Ramadan will be a holiday. So once again, intense Sharia course, fully intense. We'll be studying, inshallah, Aqeedah. You'll be studying Tafsir, Ulum al-Quran, Ulum al-Hadith, Mustalah, Fiqh, Usul al-Fiqh, Fiqh al-Sira, Al-Nahw al-Sarf, and all these intense topics, inshallah. The cost of it is $100 a term. None of that money is going to anyone's pocket. It's all going back to the facility of the college to facilitate better facilities for the brothers and sisters. So once again, it's $100 a term for those who can pay. For those who can't pay, inshallah, there'll be a special consideration for them. We don't want to stop anyone from learning. And that $100, it's not going to anyone's pocket. It's all going back to this college to facilitate for other brothers and sisters. You are paying $100. Believe me, there's another two or three I'm not paying it. So it just covers up. And through $3, yani $10 a week is nothing to pay to facilitate knowledge. Subhanallah, people pay thousands of dollars to get overseas and learn. Faikhwani. And as I said, does that exclude the books? Books. Every term, it depends on the book. Some books $20, some books $30. For inshallah, as I said, for those who can pay, those who can't pay, there'll be a special consideration. And inshallah, everything inshallah set, professional. You want more information, click on sydneyic.org.au. And those brothers who are interested, you could go to Sheikh Tajuddin's office after the questions. And the sisters upstairs, fill up the forms. And inshallah, leave the form with us. And inshallah, remember the 25th of January, which is 3 weeks from now, at the UMA Center from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Because the 25th is going to be our first week, I would request the brothers and sisters to be there at 6 o'clock just for the first Wednesday, so we could get things given out, books and registration, and to give more introduction about the college and so on. So, once again, those who are interested, please fill up the form. It's with Brother Samir Kuzi. He'll be in inshallah Sheikh Tajuddin's office. And we've got a sister upstairs also collecting that information. And as I said, it's only open for those brothers who are coming regularly to Lakemba Mosque. I don't want to open it too big because we can't handle too big. So first in, first serve. Is it wrong to have a concept of the wanting to marry someone from overseas? You want to marry someone from overseas, NSC's up to you. It's got nothing to do with this. If he's a good person, inshallah, overseas, over planet, you get him from Mars, it doesn't matter. Okay, I'll be having a baby soon, inshallah. I was just wondering if it's permissible to dress my children with clothes that have pictures of animals or cartoons, characters, and so on. Also, my child plays with dolls or figures. Okay, playing with dolls or figures is alright as long as you pack them up at the end of the night. Put them in a box. Children with pictures, better to avoid. Okay, better to avoid. So try your best to avoid. And it's becoming a bellwe. Any question, brothers? I'll come to you. What times you're not allowed to pray? The only times that you're not allowed to pray is between Maghrib, between Asr and Maghrib and Fajr. And the sunrise, if the prayer has no reason, yani if there's no sabab mutaakhir, yani if the sabab is mutaakhir, yani if the reason of it is later, yani these you're not allowed to pray, and he could to pray for the sake of Allah. But if it's a prayer that's got a reason, you could pray him this time. If you don't know the du'a for istikhara, can you have the intention to still have done the same way? Du'a and istikhara, there's Arabic du'a. You don't know it, say it in English, doesn't matter. The whole idea, you pray two rak'at to Allah, and after that say, Ya Allah, choose what's best for me. I'm confused in this matter. Ya Allah, choose the best for me. Okay. Colors such as white and yellow mean what in istikhara dream? Wallahi, I don't know anything about interpreting dreams, and I don't believe that anyone knows. The best person that knows how to interpret dreams is the person that saw that dream themselves. And those who start saying, Wallah, you saw this in the dream, it means that, and this and that, it's all full of haki. In my istikhara, Wallah, all istikhara today. Okay, my istikhara, the guy that wants to get engaged to me was given me money in front of the mosque. What does that mean? Wallahi, ikhti, all I could say, if you wake up happy, feeling comfortable, you feel wallahi, he's the man for you for the sake of Allah, not because wallahi he's got good looks and he's got a lot of money in his pocket. You feel close, wallahi, this man is good, kaza, kaza. Okay, that's the answer of the istikhara. Doesn't mean istikhara, the answer doesn't come through dreams. Could be through dreams, but it doesn't necessarily should be through me. What does money mean in dreams? Wallahi, ask the money to ya. Okay, now, if I did wudu before applying fake nails, can I still pray? Okay, if you made wudu before putting those fake nails, it's okay. But once you lose your wudu, you still have to take them off to make wudu. Okay, and then forget that fake nails is tabarruj outside the house. If it's inside the house, it's okay. Okay. Any question from the brothers? Now I'll come to him. He's got a special time for him. Listen. بس الأخوان حماس هيك pumped bro pumped wax شو يطعم شباب ولا نسوان no of course not, this is not the act of men, the act of men than wax, women wax. إننا نتساءل إلى متى سنكون كآباء أمهات مسؤولون عن تصرفات أولادين. لقد دعوت الله كثيرا أن يهديهم إلى الإسلام الصحيح. آمين. إن شاء الله الله عز وجل يستجيب دعائك. Is it haram to tell people you have dreams even if they turn out to be true? Okay, with dreams, the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم encouraged us that if we see a good dream, and you say it to those close ones. If we see a bad dream, keep it to yourself. So you shouldn't always go around and say, speak to dreams. تفضل يا غبراوي. Look, if it's only men's section or men women's section, and this يعني the fitness not there, where like there's not gonna be mixing between the men at the bottom with the women upstairs, and there's restriction, it's okay because it's isolated place. But if the fitness gonna start, يعني everyone knows themselves. And as long as the place is isolated and the men doesn't go upstairs, it's okay. But at the end of the day, she should know from herself if this if the fitness is there or not. You know, from the character of people. Okay. Look, I would not encourage for such a thing. At the end of, but look, situations like this should be avoided. It should be avoided. But at the same time, I can't give you a straight answer until I really know exactly the whole situation. But as long as the women by herself and the men by themselves, there's nothing wrong with that. If there is a darura communication to know this, to know that, that's okay. Because that took place, sahabiyat is to go buy something from men, so even the non-Muslims, so on. You know, communication sometimes is necessary between man or female. But wallahi, sit down and start giggling, laughing, that's when it becomes haram, so on. You have to explain to him, inshallah, more later. Time. Any other question, brothers? Another Ghimrawi. Okay, good. You remind me about Adhiya. Time. With the Adhiya. Ikhwani, just don't forget that Monday, inshallah, Arafah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, whoever fasts Arafah is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the past to you. So don't forget this Monday, inshallah, is the day of Arafah and it's encouraged for everyone to fast. At the same time, Eid al-Adha is sunnah to slaughter a sheep. For every family, one sheep. Okay, it's sunnah, it's not a fard. Some scholars like the Hanabila make it fard. That's why it's encouraged to slaughter. Those who can slaughter and send the money overseas for slaughtering, do so. It's recommended. $80 should be, inshallah, shouldn't be a harm. And those who can't, inshallah, make dua. Allah Azza wa Jalla, inshallah, give you the rewards for your intention. And inshallah, Eid is on Tuesday. And as I said, with the slaughtering, you've got a lot of organizations that do that. It's one slaughter for a family. Al-Aqiqah is sunnah, as I said. It's sunnah according to most of the scholars. And if your parents didn't do aqiqah on you, well, you can do it on yourself, but it will look very embarrassing. But if you want to do it, do it. I'm giving you the answer. It'll work out. You give that pledge to someone else. Yeah, if you made that pledge, you have to give it. Tayyib ikhwani, may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you all for listening. Those brothers who want to register for the course, as I said, first in, first serve, Go to Sheikh Taj's office. The registration forms are there. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward everyone. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Lastly, tomorrow, for the school students 13 years and over, there is a barbecue for them at the UMA Center at 5 p.m. Sydney Muslim Youth is holding a barbecue for brothers only at the UMA Center at 5 p.m. Assalamu alaikum.